Hey friends, welcome back home to BUMC Online, the online campus right here at Broadway. I'm Lewis, and I'm your campus pastor here at Online, and I want you to know that you're welcome here, no exceptions. If this is your first time here with us, we would love for you to let us know that you are here. Now, you can do that in a couple different ways. If you're on our BUMCOnline.org platform today, you can click on the communication card that's at the top right of the page, or you can jump over to BroadwayUnited.org/share. Today, we're going to continue our message series, I Am, as we look at the I Am statements that Jesus made in the book of John. Now, make sure you've got your candle and your communion elements ready, because you're going to need those throughout the day. Hey, are you new to Broadway? I've got just the thing for you. Virtual Coffee and Conversation is this Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. on Zoom. If you've got questions about Broadway or what we're all about here or how you can get involved, this is the event for you. To register, you can go to BroadwayUnited.org/coffee and conversation, where you'll get the Zoom information and key that you'll need to join us. A new semester of growth groups is starting in a few weeks, and we've got some pretty great offerings coming. There's a study on the Sermon on the Mount by A.J. Levine, the Disciple New Testament course, the Alpha course, and even a biking and devotional group. For more information about these or any of the other offerings, go to BroadwayUnited.org/growth groups. Now, the best way to stay up to date with everything that's going on in the life of our church family is to download our app. And you can do that by texting BUMC app to 77977. Now, grab your candle, something to light it with, and your favorite morning beverage. Let's head down to the sanctuary.
Good morning, Broadway family. The very first words of all of Scripture remind us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Hear the good news today. This same God who brought light into existence just by speaking the word continues to speak light into the darkness of our world now. May we sense his light breaking into the dim places of our lives as we worship him together today. May we experience the brilliance, warmth, and refining of his presence as we fix our eyes on his son, Jesus. Would you join me in our call to worship today as we profess our faith together? And as we do so, let me invite you to light your candles at home. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's worship together.
Amen. It's so good to be with you guys this morning, and I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit that draws us in together. So as we enter into this time of worship, we are envisioning you guys here with us in this space, knowing that that we're coming together to fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who started the journey of the faith, the one who's going to finish this journey of faith. And as we look to him, all of the things come in line. So we're going to praise him this morning, and it's going to sound a little bit early, but we want you to just dive in into all the joy that's in this moment, and we're going to worship this moment. Ready?
Hear the word of the Lord from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Light of the that you have shown your light and revealed it to us who are walking in darkness. God, we know how it feels to be grasping for in feeling like we are in total darkness. But Jesus, you come, and just as a single candle lights up a full room, Jesus, we are reminded of the hope of you that lights up the whole world. So Jesus, would you show us the light this morning and remind us of the great joy that we have. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature see. Amen, amen.
Hear the word of the Lord from the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It just so happened to be a crystal clear night on January 17th, 1994, when at 4:30 a.m. Pacific time, a 6.7 magnitude earthquake hit the San Fernando Valley in California. The quake knocked out power to the entire city of Los Angeles, and so plunged nearly 9 million people into the pre-dawn darkness. Many of them had never experienced life outside of the glow of those city lights. And so as residents made their way outside to assess the situation, hundreds of them began calling 911, but it was not to report earthquake damage. Instead, they were concerned about something in the sky. A strange cloud was reported, a band of mysterious lights in the heavens. This eerie glow above them was something they had never seen before. Of course, as it turns out, these mysterious lights were not some kind of alien invasion. They were what we call the Milky Way, our home galaxy, filled with planets and stars that had been invisible to these lifelong residents, all due to light pollution. But think about that for a moment. Almost 10 million people had not been aware of what they had been missing. Sadly, what is true for them then is actually true for us now. Light pollution in the United States has been doubling every 35 years. Now, in 2020, many of us never know dark any darker than twilight. 37% of people in the United States never use their night vision because they don't have to. And currently, one-third of the world's population cannot see the Milky Way. Now, at one level, that may sound like no big deal, but let's think for a second. It might be affecting us in ways that we're not aware of. According to National Geographic, since 2012, the American Medical Association has been calling our attention to the harmful physical and health effects of light pollution. A psychologist at the University of California, Berkeley, has said that the psychological impact of losing the night sky also should not be underestimated. That this star splash canvas that rotates overhead on clear nights has for millennia among millions and billions of people in human history has elicited this sense of wonder and awe that actually may translate into positive human behaviors. Laboratory studies have shown that participants who have just experienced that awe and wonder in the nighttime sky have been scientifically proven to be kinder, more altruistic, and less materialistic. Philosophers have written about how a big, beautiful sky makes you feel like you're a part of something, like that it's sacred, that there's a sense of purpose. Light pollution is estimated to cost us $2 billion a year, but the real cost might actually be a spiritual one, an inability to really see. This was the spiritual problem as diagnosed in those opening verses in the introduction of Jesus in John's gospel, as we're introduced to Jesus as the light of the world. John summarizes the entire gospel story. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. When was the last time you were outside and experienced true darkness? In May of 2019, Jenny and I were visiting the Smoky Mountains with Joel and Martha Christian. We had puttered around during the day, during touristy things, and had a great time. Then as we finished dinner, we got to talking about a phenomenon unique to just a few parts of the world and for just a few weeks each year. At first, we thought we maybe had missed it, but we made a few calls and decided it was worth the risk. So at 10 p.m., we took a golf cart up into the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, away from any artificial light and deeper into the woods. When we reached the spot we were looking for, it was so dark that we could barely make out a few other figures and their cars who had come to the same spot, and they were all heading deeper into the woods along this trail. No flashlights were allowed, and so everyone was slowly making their way through the dark. It was so dark, in fact, that a man from another group ahead of us ran into a barrier at the trailhead and suffered a pretty nasty fall. It was really, really dark. But as we walked deeper and deeper into the woods, our little epic adventure turned out to be totally worth it. We had arrived, in fact, in time to see the synchronized fireflies, which are not only a different color completely from those lightning bugs that I caught on my grandparents' farm when I was little, but they flash together, all in rhythm as part of their mating ritual. The woods would be completely dark, and then these bugs would get all riled up and begin flashing all at the same time. And then they would sort of settle down again, and then they would get riled up again. We watched them over and over again for over an hour in the complete dark with this sense of childlike wonder of a tiny little bug, a tiny little part of God's creation. You probably have had a similar experience of being outside and being in wonder at night. Maybe it was sitting around a campfire telling stories and this sort of calm comes over you. Or maybe you visited someplace like the Grand Canyon or closer to home, Mammoth Cave, and just stared up into the stars. Or maybe you are lucky enough or have been in your life to live far enough away from those city lights that you are still able to see the stars. We tend to think that we are more advanced than the people who came before us. But ancient people had at least one advantage over us. They saw the stars. And this would have been certainly true for the ancient Israelites who followed God out of Egypt and into the wilderness, guided by a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. Imagine with me an entire nation of people camping out every night for a generation under a blanket of stars. They did so often in one place for long periods of time, in these temporary shelters called sukkot, which were like ancient tents, more camping than glamping. And about half that the time they were there, half of that 40 years, they would have been in the dark, in complete darkness almost, with people sitting around campfires and staring up into the immense wonder-filled sky. That context is actually really important to our scripture for today. In the I am statement that we find in John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Here Jesus is picking up on a theme, the theme of light, that begins in actually the first chapter of John and is carried throughout the gospel and then the first, second, and third letters of John. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And that equation, "I am," is something that Jesus does seven times in the Gospel of John. And in this series, we're exploring those seven statements of Jesus that use that construction, "I am." Each one uses that same beginning, that same divine identity formula that goes back to the burning bush in Exodus, the burning bush self-revelation of God, when God says, "I am who I am." When Moses asks him what his name is, and God says, "My name is I am." Here, Jesus is letting us know something about himself and something about God. God is the one who is mysterious and other and infinitely glorious, as the hymn says, immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. That is I am. But just like the light, it doesn't stay distant. God doesn't stay distant. God's nature is to remain not far off, but close, to be imminent, to come to us just like the light does, and just like light, to impact our world in infinitely powerful ways. This was the message of hope that Jesus brought in himself. God is here, bringing with him light and life to all people. He is the one who shines in the darkness so that we are not left in the dark or in despair, but in wonder and awe. Christ is the one thing that sheds light on every other thing so that we're able to see our world and our lives with greater clarity. Richard Rohr actually writes about this in The Universal Christ, and it helps us understand the metaphor. Remember, he says, light is not so much what you directly see as that by which you see everything else. Christ is that for us. And in this way, the I am statement of Jesus here helps us form a powerful metaphor to understand who Christ is and what he comes to do. Jesus is the life that gives life to everything else. He is the hope that pierces any and all darkness. He is the clarity that allows us to see. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he also does so in a very particular setting. These chapters in John's Gospel are set in the context of the Jewish festival Sukkot, which was named after those temporary shelters you may recognize, those temporary shelters of their ancestors out in the wilderness. Now, there are actually three Jewish festivals that are considered pilgrimage festivals, in which observant Jews will travel to Jerusalem and will participate in rituals and community. Passover is when God saved the people from Egypt, from the angel of death that passed over their houses. It's the great salvation story of the Old Testament. And Jesus uses that Passover celebration with the crowds gathered to initiate Holy Communion, and to initiate the great salvation story of all time. The festival that became known as Pentecost, we remember, as when the Holy Spirit was given to the early church. The Jewish festival celebrates the law being given to the people. And then this third festival, in which large crowds would gather in Jerusalem to set up these temporary shelters and all camp out together. It celebrates God's provision in two ways. As a harvest festival to commemorate the ingathering of crops, sort of like Thanksgiving, as called for in Exodus 34. And it commemorates God's provision for the people wandering in the wilderness, carrying and leading them for 40 years in the wilderness, as called for in Leviticus 23. Still today, observant Jews travel to Jerusalem. They set up these temporary shelters, and they spend 7 days in them, camping out under the stars like their ancestors did. They are required to eat every meal in the shelter and to spend as much time there as possible. Sukkot is also considered one of the most joyous of all times in the Jewish calendar, including, as their tradition grew in the time of Jesus, to include a light ceremony in Jerusalem. People would gather in one of the temple courts, and large candles were lighted on these huge candelabras. And it said that those lights would light up the courtyards of the city. And then, according to the Talmud, men of piety and good deeds would dance around those candelabras with torches, and they would sing songs of praise to God. It was a festival of gratitude and of joy. It would almost be like our Thanksgiving and 4th of July fireworks and the lights of Christmas all wrapped up into a week-long celebration with thousands of your friends and family. These pictures capture how light is still an important part of the celebration of Sukkot today. And here's the point. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," the people all gathered in Jerusalem would have understood. And perhaps would have understood better than we do. These faithful of God's people who were camped out in tents under the stars, watching joyful torch ceremonies and pondering God's goodness to them to sustain them with life and with hope. Now, in some ways, we do something similar. We actually choose the darkest days of the year in the calendar year, and we light candles on Christmas Eve to remind us that there is a light that shines in the darkness, and that the darkness has not overcome it. And yet, when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," here's what we ought to understand, that the people he was speaking to probably understood what he meant better than we do. They understood the categories of light and darkness better than we do. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," he is, of course, not referring to all kinds of things that we call light, to flashlights or lamps or LEDs or street lamps or satellites blinking in the sky. Not only were those not invented yet, but the category of those things was not even understood, not even invented. And so when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," people would have understood light only in the purest sense, the natural light of the sun that gives life during the day to everything living on the planet. The brightness of day that gives clarity and creates the space for us to live and move and have our being. And he meant the heavenly lights at night, the starry hosts on full display in all their mysterious splendor, which would have instilled countless millions with a sense of wonder and hope and a sense of place. Could it be that we have lost that sense of place because we have lost a sense of what the true light is? When Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," there would have been then less confusion about what that meant. These were people who understood light because they also knew about the dark. You and I are most likely missing out on that in some way through our own experience of light pollution. Those of us who stare at blue screens a good portion of the day, who aren't yet able to see the expanse of the Milky Way and ponder our place in God's creation and think because of that that we're more advanced. And just because we can flip a light switch and say, "Let there be light," and there is light, that does not mean that we are God. And it doesn't mean that we see things as clearly as we would like to believe we do. And yes, we can harness sunlight through solar panels and make power. But could it be that all of our power might confuse us as to the one who is the true source of power and of life and of good things? And though we have all these comforts and these escapes that we say brighten our lives, could it be that these also fool us into thinking that joy is found in places that it's not? Could it be that all of these artificial lights, all of these things that claim to bring hope and clarity and joy, actually obscure the true sources of hope and clarity and joy? Could it be that they keep us in some ways from seeing the one who helps us see everything else more clearly, the true light of the world? If this is us, and I think it might be, I actually want to end today, leave us with a message of hope. These days are uncharacteristically challenging for so many of us. There is, and maybe the best word for it is, a darkness that is particular to this time, which wants to overwhelm us with despair, to overwhelm us with confusion, and to bring a shroud of ugliness and hatefulness that creeps into our lives. There is a darkness that wants to creep into our relationships, into our conversations, into our thoughts, into our hearts, and yes, into our lives. But hear this good news today. Darkness only reveals the light. Darkness only reveals the light. The darker it gets, the more clearly the true light shines. Think about it. This is the hope-filled paradox of any time we go through challenging times, any time we experience darkness now or in any other time in our lives. It is the lived experience of so many people. It is the lived experience of what the prophets describe. Those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light, because there is a light. There is one true light. Darkness shows us where the real light is. It helps us see that more clearly. So the darker it gets, the more clearly we see Christ. And so if there's despair, then Christ is there offering us hope. And in these days, we might be actually more able to see it. If there is hatred around us and hatred in us, then we are also better able to notice where agape love is and how to follow that love in acts of love and service. We're able to see those acts of love and service in others, and it shines. If there is a darkness of division among us, then Christ is leading us to love our neighbors and our enemies, and those acts of love stand out. If there is a shroud of confusion, then Christ is bringing clarity. And the more we see him, the more we see through him. And it may not reveal the clarity that we are looking for in the fullest sense, but it does very often lead us into our next step. Christ will lead us to our next steps. And where there is death, when there is the darkness of the cold, dark tomb, then Christ is also still yet bringing us life. And so the darker it gets, the more distinctly Christ shines. And the more clearly we see that there is a light. There is a light that no darkness could ever overcome. The darkness only reveals the light. And so if you are sitting in any sort of darkness today, this is your task: to let the darkness show you the true light of Christ, and to bring your focus to him and through him. Your job is to see the light, to notice it, and then to follow it, to focus on it, to do as John says, to walk in the light as he is in the light. And what we discover as we follow Christ is that he will lead us into dark places, but there will always be a light, the true light, to not only guide us, and not only to give us hope, but to give us life itself, even in the darkest of places. There is one calling us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. There is one who is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. There is one that is such a source of life that the prophets before Jesus, Zechariah and Isaiah, and then after Jesus in the book of Revelation, there is this expectation, this prophetic expectation of Christ, that he will be such a source of life that there will no longer be the need for the sun. There would no longer be the need for the stars or the moon. That Christ himself will be our light. That he will be enough. And that metaphor helps us understand how to live now in our relationship to God. There is one who is enough, who is the source. Even if there were no sun, even if there were no moon, even if there were no stars. And so there is one who gives us a promise. The one who says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, he will lead us in a path of unity and of clarity and of salvation. Christ said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And this is the promise that we claim today. Amen.
May we come to this table ready to receive the light of life today. Would you join me in the communion liturgy on the screen? The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. In the fullness of time, you gave us your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And at his birth, the angels sang glory to you in the highest and peace to your people on earth. And so, with your people on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then, when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Would you pray with me? Lord God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and in our homes throughout our community, and pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until that day when Christ returns in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Would you take this moment to receive the grace that Jesus is holding out to you today as you take the bread and drink from the cup?
My hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. in Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I lay. Body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. 1 John 1:7.
Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way. Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the thank you.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. I pray that each and every one of us experience God at work in our lives today, inviting us to come more fully alive through a relationship with Jesus. This morning, if you sense God calling you to commit your life to Christ or to take any other spiritual step, we would love to celebrate that with you. You can let us know that through the online communication form that's available through the online worship platform or through the app. Also this morning, if you'd like to respond in worship by giving to the Ministry of Broadway, let me invite you to do that now. You can do that through that online worship platform, through the Broadway app, by visiting our website, broadwayunited.org/give, or by mailing your check to the church. As always, thank you so much for generously giving to the mission and the ministry of Broadway. You make, invite, grow, and serve possible. I know this morning, weighing on many of our hearts and minds is the beginning of school in the week ahead as our county and our city schools open, as well as Western Kentucky University. As we enter into this year that's going to look so different for so many of us, we want to take a moment this morning to cover our students and our schools in prayer. Would you lift up your own prayers with the voices of members of our congregation as they pray for us this morning?
God, we pray to you, trusting in your tender care for each and every one of your children.
Especially as we start school in these uncertain times.
Lord, we are feeling a range of emotions, from fear to excitement, confusion to hope, anxiety to anticipation.
Some of us are kindergartners starting a school for the very first time.
Or college freshmen launching into a new chapter.
We wonder how to navigate so many firsts in such unusual times.
Others of us are high school or college seniors, wrapping up a major chapter in our lives.
We wonder how our future might be different than we expected.
Some of us are leaders who carry the extra weight of making plans and strategies to keep staff and students safe.
Others of us are parents who carry the extra burden of important decisions and new expectations.
Some of us are teachers and professors who know we are called by you and ask you to guide us as we answer that call.
Others of us are staff members asking for courage.
That we might shine a bright light into the lives of young people to dispel any and all darkness.
Some of us will attend school in person. Others will attend school virtually.
Some of us are ready to jump back in. Others of us prefer to wait.
All of us are trying to do what's best, and none of us can be sure what that is.
God, we pray to you, trusting in your goodness and care for each and every one of your children.
Help us, guide us, watch over us.
We pray for each student to thrive
mentally,
physically,
academically,
emotionally,
and spiritually.
And God, would you grant each one of us wisdom,
help,
hope,
patience,
and peace.
Amen.
One last thing. We want to encourage you to fix your eyes on Jesus throughout the flow of your everyday. And so in just a few moments, if you have the Broadway app, you will be receiving a push notification. That push notification is going to give you an image that you can download and set as your lock screen on your phone so that every time you pick up that phone, you will be prompted to pray. To pray to Jesus, who is the light of the world, and to ask him to shine into the darkness that is around us and that is in our lives. Would you join me in the benediction on the screen as we prepare to go today? Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Go in peace. We'll see you next week.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine.